God of angel armies is by your side. We shouldn't have to fear about anything, should we? Well, we've been on a spiritual odyssey here, a spiritual journey. I've entitled the theme kind of for 2013, a Do You Work in Me in 21:3. So we've been talking about a spiritual odyssey. We talked about spiritual gifts. We've been talking about some spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians. But the manifestation of the Spirit, the exhibition of the Spirit, the showing up of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. God wants to profit all of us by showing up. When He shows up, it's a good thing, right? And we talked about some of these gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, as was exercised here this morning. When a person gets a word from God and begins to share it and says, hey, I don't know exactly, or maybe he knows who that person is, begins to deliver that word, and all of a sudden we find out that God cares, God sees, God knows. And I'm not just some one person in the midst of 8 billion people. He knows me specifically. He knows the number of hairs on my head. He knows what I'm going through. And then when a word comes, you realize He really does know me. He really does love me. It's powerful. We talked about faith and gifts of healings and working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation. And we talked about not being ignorant in these gifts, but we need to investigate them. And gifts aren't given to us so that we can be an elite. You're not an elite Christian because you have some spiritual gift. If anything, if you don't exercise it in love, it's absolutely meaningless. It's absolutely worthless. Therefore, we need to operate gifts in this context called love. And to realize that if we're operating in a gift and we're blessed by God to do something like that, then it should be the most humbling thing. It's not an elite thing. It's a humbling thing. We also talked about if you want to be used by God, then you got to make sure that you keep your life clean. You got to make sure that you're a worthy vessel. What are you going to pour your milk into? A dirty glass or one that's been washed out and ready to receive that? And we want to make sure our lives are cleaned up so that God can use us. He's not looking for perfect people, just fessed up people. People who've come to Him and said, Lord, I need you. We talk about passive versus active listening. Are we just kind of back there, ho-hum? Or are we on our toes, ready for the next command from God, actively listening to Him? And then we talked about the aspects that allow us to be better hearers of His Word, of the Holy Spirit who wants to speak to you. Each and every day, the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you, to instruct you, to encourage you, to bless you, to give you a word for somebody else or a word for you. We talked about how we can do that through worship or prayer. And prayer is just talking with God and listening to Him and reading the Word. We're going through the Old Testament this year, so we might know His Word and then connecting with God. So I'm going to move on past that. Now, this week I'm going to talk about something different. I'm going to talk about our spiritual odyssey. We're on that, our spiritual odyssey, this journey, this life. And have you noticed that sometimes that we want the whole picture developed before our eyes? We want to know what to expect on this journey. Do you like to know what to expect? How many people like to know what's going to happen ahead of time? I like to know the plan. Like it mapped out for them. Like to be able to see what's going to happen. Know where we are, know where we're going. Raise your hands if you're that type of person. How many people out there going, hey, just surprise me. I'm excited. Whatever happens, just surprise me. Are there any surprises out there? A few folks like the surprise. Awesome. Most of us like the control rather than the surprise. They're not too upset if things get changed. I mean, they're great people to have around because they don't even care if things get changed, things move around. Hey, okay, whatever. We're in this for a journey and an adventure. You tell that to a person who's got it all mapped out and bring a little change there, and all of a sudden they are just, they can't handle it. I mean, and they're crying. They're trying to take charge again. I got this little video. Did you put that up there? This is from Seattle, Washington. If you're going to come to Pullman, you're going to go through all these places. Adam put this together. You're going to go through a number of spots. Snoqualmie Pass. You don't realize this. That's how you get from there to here. A lot of places. It'll make you sick if you look long enough. Sorry, Clem. We're going to go to Ellensburg. We're going to go through all of these places in order to get to where we want to go. And at all these places, there's turns, there's junctions, there's all sorts of things that happen in life. As we go from one somewhere around Othello. Don't you hate that spot around Othello? I mean, what happened? That spot there we go. Yeah, we're moving around the Palouse. Look at that. Oh, the beautiful Palouse. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah, there we are. There's Colfax. We're almost there. We're almost there. Hey, we're making the turn. Coming around. Hey, we can see it. We can see it. We can smell it. It's there. It's there. It's there. Almost there. We're excited. Ah, ah, boom. We're there. How many have done that trip many times? Many times, yes. Not that fast. I know a few of you go about that fast. Don't tell me you don't do it that fast. I've seen some of you drive. God usually doesn't give us the whole picture. God usually gives us general ideas about this journey. And He wants you to stay close to His Holy Spirit so you get the day-by-day updates. The day-by-day updates. Some people get bummed out about what's going on. I'm going, well, just stay close and get the day-to-day updates. If you haven't been checking in, you know, you look at your weather app on your phone and you got to keep looking at it because it's going to change from time to time. It's going to keep changing. Just because it said, you know, 2 weeks down, it's not going to... I mean, we realized it was supposed to snow and be awful and be yucky for the guys that were going out doing the snow day up at Mount Spokane. We're worried about all the snow that was going to happen then. And what did God decide to do? He speeded it up, snowed ahead of time, decided to open up the sky, let it be sunny for a while. Then I'm ski around, have fun, do all that stuff, and then kind of clouded up again as they left. I mean, God can do all sorts of things. He's changing. He's dynamic. He's in motion. He's moving. And this morning I want to talk to you about divine intersections. Divine intersections on our spiritual odyssey. What's an intersection? An intersection is a place where things converge, right? Things come together at an intersection. But as you keep moving, then they diverge. They go in different places. A road comes together at an intersection. It converges at an intersection. All sorts of roads converge at an intersection, but as you keep moving through, they're going to diverge. Diverge. But it's a place where things come together and then multiple opportunities exist. Divine intersections. Intersections. They're things. Interesting things happen at intersections. All sorts of things can happen. I remember Riley and Charlie Huddleston going to Boyer. They're going to Boyer a couple years ago, and they're stopping on the Hawaii Road where the flashing light is as you get ready to cross the highway there. Well, they crossed the highway, and a car hit them going, you know, 60 miles an hour. Bam! Spun them around, spun it off, smashed it all up. I remember going there afterwards and looking at the car because I heard that it happened, and I'm going there. They'd already been taken away, and then I see the car, and I go, oh, my gosh, are they going to be okay? The thing is smashed up to pieces. Interesting things happen at intersections. All sorts of choices happen at intersections. But sometimes things happen that we're not even looking for. I want to talk about some biblical intersections. I'm going to talk about, I think, five or six of them this morning, quickly. I'm going to talk about Saul, first of all. Saul had an intersection in his life. Here he is, Saul, he's looking for donkeys. Saul is looking for donkeys. In 1 Samuel 9:3, it says this. Now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to his son, Saul, please take one of the servants with you and arise and go look for the donkeys. So Saul is on a donkey journey, just looking for donkeys. That's all he's got in mind. Natural, mundane, look for some donkeys. We lost them. Dad doesn't know where they are. I got to go find some donkeys. And they look for the donkeys, but they can't find these donkeys. They look all over the place, can't find them. Finally, his servant says, hey, why don't we ask the prophet? There's a prophet here, Samuel. Why don't we ask him if he has any ideas about where the donkeys might be? And so they go, and ahead of time, Samuel gets a word from God. And he gets a word from God saying, hey, some people are going to come who are looking for donkeys. They're donkey lookers. They're coming to you. These donkey lookers. There's another name for it, but we'll use the donkey looker one. Donkeys. They're looking for donkeys. And then all of a sudden, what happens is they come to Samuel, and Samuel has a word. And again, Saul is just walking this direction in a natural thing, and all of a sudden, wham! Something's going to happen at an intersection that's going to change the course of his life. And he was completely unaware that he was at an intersection. But God had a divine intersection for him. And at that moment, as he's looking for donkeys, Samuel prophesies over him and says, I'm going to anoint you as king of Israel. Now, that's kind of an interesting thing, isn't it? You're going in looking for donkeys and you come out king of a nation. Now, that's an interesting thought, isn't it? That's a divine intersection. Going one way and wham, gets hit by something, and he's leaving out a whole different road. But he wasn't planning on leaving a different road. He was planning on passing the intersection and keeping going on the road that he was on. But God had something he wanted to do, and he didn't even know he was at an intersection. But God took him on a different road because he came to a divine intersection. The process of looking for donkeys, God was busy. And in the process, God was busy preparing Saul's intersection where he meets Samuel the prophet who anoints him as king. Saul was not looking for kingship. He was looking for donkeys. Yet God tells Samuel that he has a purpose and a plan for the man. He tells Samuel to get ready because he's about to make a divine connection at an earthly intersection. A divine connection at an earthly intersection. And I have an observation here, a couple of them. The donkeys of life, what are your donkeys? What are you looking at? What are you tending to in this life? What are you just busy about doing day by day? Here's what I do. This is my routine. Here's what happens. I'm just on the road looking for donkeys, just doing my job, doing my stuff, doing whatever. The donkeys of life are tools in the hand of the master that can lead you straight to your destiny by divine intersection. The next one is, we bemoan circumstances. We get bummed at circumstances, but it's the circumstances that bring us to an intersection where we can connect with God. And who knows what's the result after we leave that intersection connected to God? Where does that road take us? We keep thinking, where am I at? Where's my plan? Where am I going? And we want it all planned out. But I'll tell you what, you're going to be walking along, all of a sudden, wham! God's going to take you in a whole different direction. A whole different thought. But it's His plan. It's His way. And I'm sure that Saul was probably saying, wow, I didn't see that coming. 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 I didn't know that was going to happen. I think all of us, we look back into our life, we can say there are a number of things that happened in our life where we say, I didn't see that coming. But God saw it coming. And He knew that He was going to do something in a very, very powerful way. Saul was pursuing a natural thought, a natural idea, just about his natural business, just about the things of life. But God had some plans for him that were going to take him on a different road. Another divine intersection. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, he sets up an image that's 60 cubits high. 60 cubits, this gold image, 60 cubits high. And a cubit is the length from your middle finger to your elbow. So everybody had their ruler, whatever they went back then. You know, they weren't carrying a Stanley tape measure. They just had their arm. And so it was roughly about 18 inches. This is a span. This was a span in the Bible. If you look at a span, that was that, 7 to 8 inches. This was a cubit right here, foot and a half about. So this thing is about 90 feet tall. This golden image, 90 feet tall. And all of a sudden, whenever the music played, they were supposed to, in the whole place, bow down and worship this golden statue. That was what everyone was supposed to do. We pick up the story in verse 15 of chapter 3. Now, if you are ready, let me say this. Let me give a little precursor to what's going on here. They're supposed to worship, but there's a problem for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're Israelites. They're Jewish. They have a God already. He's the one true God. He's already told them, you won't make any other idols. You won't bow down to anything else. You will not do that. They're going, well, we're in a tough spot because now the state is telling us we have to bow down to this image, and so therefore we better bow down to the image. But here's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. Now, if you are ready, at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship, give your heart to, acquiesce to, allow it to be prominent in your life, the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And I love this right here, because it's going to come back to haunt him in a moment. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? And remember that question. It's going to get answered. Who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? His idea was this. Hey, I'm huge. I'm in control. I'm the state. I've made something. I expect you to bow down and to worship that. But these guys have a problem. They already have a God that they worship. And their God said, you will bow down to no one else. And so what are they going to do? What are they going to do? And Nebuchadnezzar says, hey, and what God is there that will save you and deliver you if you don't do what I say? No one is the rhetorical question here. No one. I'm in control. There is no other God. I love their names too. Now they're Babylonian names actually. Shadrach means the breast was tender. Or let me say it this way. The breast was tender, meaning soft-hearted. He's a soft-hearted guy. The next guy, Shadrach, Meshach. Meshach means waters of quiet. He was a nice guy. Don't you just love it when you hear the waterfalls and stuff like that, music? It just kind of makes you calm and all of that. He was just a calm guy. And then Abednego was servant of brightness. Here are these guys with tender hearts, quiet demeanor, full of the brightness of God. And they come to a situation where they've got to make a decision. What are they going to do? What are they going to do? They'd already gotten promoted in the land because of Daniel, their friend, who had introduced them to the king of Babylon, and they'd done great things, and all of a sudden everything was going great in their lives. Didn't see this coming, that all of a sudden they have to worship something that they don't want to worship at all. And they say this, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. He's telling them who can deliver us. Our God can deliver us, if he wants to. From the burning fiery furnace, he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, I love that. I love that about them. But if not, our God will deliver us. We believe he'll deliver us. But you know what? If he doesn't deliver us, it doesn't matter. We are still not going to worship the gold image which you have set up. I'm sorry. What God can deliver you? I know a God that can deliver me. It's the God of the universe, the only true God. He can deliver me. He will deliver me one way or another. One way or another. Deliver me in this life or deliver me to the next one. Either way, he will deliver me. He will deliver me. I love their thought there. And I think what they were saying is this. It's an honor. It's an honor to live for God. And it's an honor to die for God. Whether I live, whether I die, blessed be the name of the Lord. Whether I live, whether I die, blessed be the name of the Lord, because it's honor. It's about honor. I think living our Christian testimony, you know what it's about? It's about honor. It's about honor. Living for God, dying for God, whatever it is, we have honor to our Lord through our life. Whether it's in life or in death, we honor God. And I think we've gotten away from this concept of honor in life. What it means to honor something. What it means to render honor, to live for honor. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression of his face changed. Another translation says it was distorted. He got all, ooh! You what? You dare defy me? King Nebuchadnezzar? You dare to defy me, the state? You dare to defy me? He got bummed about it. That's an old King James version. And Nebuchadnezzar was bummed. His face changed. Remember, he loved these three guys. It changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more. How do you heat it seven times more? I mean, it's hot. I mean, hot. I'm thinking maybe they put seven times the fuel on it, I guess. I mean, fire is hot enough. Seven times fire is still hot. And they were supposed to throw him in the furnace. And so they do. Can you imagine those guys? Didn't see this coming. We got carried off into here. Then we got put in the palace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Life is good. Life is cool. It's awesome. We get to worship God and get to enjoy everything up here in the high life. This is just awesome. But now I'm walking this nice walk. But now there's some people that want me to do something that's against my convictions. What are you going to do with that nice walk now? You're going to follow convictions or follow convenience? I'm going to follow my convictions or I'm going to follow convenience because I want to stay where I'm at. I can't help but think these three guys thought, wow, we've enjoyed life. Life has been good to us. But now we have to stand on something. Will we stand on convenience or will we stand on conviction? Will we stand on something and live by honor, by honor, by honor, by honoring our God? Or will we honor something else? A 60-foot or a 90-foot golden statue. What will we honor? And sometimes isn't it easy to honor something that's full of gold and glitter and looks well and keeps me in a comfortable lifestyle versus something else? They threw him in the fire, verse 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste, and he spoke, saying to his counselors, didn't we cast three men bound? We had them all bound up. They were all bound up and alive. They're bound up into the midst of the fire. They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men. There was three bound. Now I see four loosed. They were bound going in, now they're loosed. You see, there's something in the spirit that's loosing if you walk and follow God. There's something binding in our natural walk if we're just living it for ourselves or living it for some system other than the kingdom of God and conviction that binds us up. But there was something that was loosing. They went into the fire thinking, all right, you know, hey, at least they're going to burn it up and we'll be gone and we'll see the Lord and it'll be awesome. And they go in bound, they come out loosed, four of them, in the midst of the fiery furnace, and they're not hurt, not touched at all. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Jesus shows up in the midst of the trial. How awesome. Then Nebuchadnezzar went to the mouth of the burning furnace, and he spoke to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. He knew who they served. What God will it be? Oh, you servants of the Most High God. He knew who they were serving. He knew who could deliver him. Come out and come here. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fiery flame. I would have said something like that. If I were there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they're there, and the Son of God is right there too, and our chains are loose, and we're unbound, and we're dancing through the flames, and it's just kind of cool being in here. Wow, this is cool. I'm in here. I'm not burned. I'm not touched at all. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yes, O King, come out here. I would have said, no, you come in here. Try it. Hey, dance around. It's pretty cool. It's really warm in here. Feels good. We don't have to go to Florida. I'm right here. Wonderful life right here. Now come on in. The flames are great, man. Feel good. What are you bound up by? Come on in. It'll be loosed. That's what I would have said if I were them. But that would have been, it's probably an arrogant comment. So probably these guys are a little more pure than me. Servants of the Most High God, come out here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come out of the midst of the flames. The satraps and the ministers, the governors and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw the four men whose bodies the fire had no power. Wow. You must do this. If not, I'll do that to you. Oh, you know, you can go ahead and do that to me, but it really doesn't have any power over my life. It's not going to change it at all. My convictions remain steady and sure. It was a miracle. A miracle took place. The hair of their heads was not singed, nor were their garments afflicted, and the smell of fire was not even on them. That's amazing. Whenever you do a fire, don't you smell it forever? When I come home from a camp out, my wife makes me live outside for a while until all it can go away. It just stays. It lingers for a while. Not even on him. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in him, who trusted in him, who trusted in him, who stayed sure, who thought it was an honor to live for him, who thought it was an honor to die for him, who didn't change their convictions in the midst of all sorts of circumstances, but remained true and sure. Delivered his servants who trusted him, and they have," I love this, he's the king saying this, "and they have frustrated the king's word." You frustrated me. And you yielded your bodies. You yielded your bodies. You frustrated me. You yielded your bodies. You didn't even care about life or death. "That they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God." And then I love it. Here's the guy saying, "Okay, I'm God. I'm going to set this thing. We're going to all worship this." Now he makes a decree because he's seen something. And Nebuchadnezzar changes things. "Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap." All right, we're not going to talk about your God in a bad way. "Because there is no other God who can deliver like this." Who can deliver like this was the question? Was the statement he made? Well, there's a God who can deliver like this. His name is Jehovah. His name is Yahweh. He is the one, the true, the only God. And he takes a stand for God and tells nobody else, "You're not going to say nothing bad about that God." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are just walking along like this. Didn't see it coming, and whoom, boom. God does something powerful at an intersection in life when circumstances seem bleak, where all of a sudden the glory of God was revealed and powerful things happened at a divine intersection. Number three, Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery. We all know the story about Joseph. He's walking along. I think we have a little illustration up there. Joseph's walking to his brothers. He's walking. He's on a road just walking to his brothers. And life is going great. And wham! He gets on another road going down to Egypt. Whoa, didn't see that coming. I was just going to bring my folks or my brothers some encouraging words about how they're going to bow down to me. And some food. That was the one thing about Joseph is that he didn't keep his mouth shut very well. He just told them how they're all going to bow down. It was true for sure, but sometimes there's tact and diplomacy that should be exercised, especially when you're talking to your older brothers, all right? I've learned that. See that scar right there? Didn't have tact and diplomacy when I talked to my brother. He kicked me in the face, broke it open. 5 stitches right before our pictures for school. Still have them today. What's that worm on your face? He's walking along, wham, talking to his brothers into Egypt. Now he's going down to Egypt, thinking of what's going to happen. Wham, now he's in Potiphar's house. Oh, wow, this is great, this is wonderful. Hey, I'm down here, but it's a great spot. And wham, all of a sudden, now he's in jail. He's going, wow, this isn't, didn't see that coming. Now I'm in jail. And wham, all of a sudden, now he's in the palace. And now he's prophesying to the king, interpreting a dream for the king. I didn't see that coming. And wham, all of a sudden, now he's over here going, and he's second in command, all of Egypt. Didn't see that coming. Wow. Divine intersections, they happen all the time. And they happen all the time in your life. We bemoan them, but God uses them. We bemoan them, but God uses them. And Genesis 50, 18 through 21, I love it. Joseph's there, second command, saves the world from famine. His brothers come. Finally, he shares with them that he's their brother and blah, 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 and everything's great. And so they live in Goshen and things are great. until Jacob dies. Dad dies. As soon as Dad dies, the brothers get together and go, you know, he wouldn't kill us while Dad was here. But with Dad gone, do you think he might, you know, do something? He could kill us now. Because nobody's there to, I mean, Dad's not here to save us. Remember that? Dad saved you in all sorts of fights when you were a younger brother or older brother. I mean, you got in fights. Dad, I'm telling Dad! I mean, or Mom. I mean, they were there to help rescue you. Dad's gone. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face. This is after Jacob dies, years later. And they said, behold, we are your servants. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. For am I in the place of God? Am I God? God has his hands on you. God will protect you. God will deliver you. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. God used it to fulfill the dreams that he had given me. Gave me some dreams. You guys are going to bow down. As a matter of fact, you bow down again. That's been awesome. I've loved watching you guys bow down. It's wonderful. I love this scripture, though. You meant it for evil. You were jealous against me. You didn't like me. You sent me away and wham, 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 wham. All these divine intersections happened in my life because you guys did what you did. Actually, you set something great into motion. Thank you very much. Never would have got here without you throwing me in the pit that day. The word meant here, but God meant it for good. The word meant here is kashab. Kashab. It means to weave, to fabricate, to plot, or contrive. God weaved it out. God took my life and all these fibers and all these different things, and he started weaving all of this together to bring about his divine plan in my life that I thought were, oh, this is hard, this is tough, and this intersection took me that way, and this intersection took me that way, and I thought I'd missed out on everything. Oh, no, no, no. You see, God is weaving something in your life. God's plotting. He's planning. He's utilizing. He's using. He's not done with you. Doesn't matter what's happened in your life. Doesn't matter if you've been abused. Doesn't matter if life's not going well. Doesn't matter if people don't like you. It doesn't matter because God's not done with you yet. He's still weaving things in your life. He's still fabricating. He's still plotting. He's still contriving. He's still moving in your life. There are more divine intersections that will lie ahead in your life. Don't bemoan them. Realize that God will use them to weave a tapestry that will absolutely be beautiful. I'm sure when it was all over, and Joseph looked back at his life, he would have said, wow, lived a pretty great life. Had some tough things happen, but those tough things that happened in my life shaped me to the man that I am today. And God used divine intersections to change my life for the better. Eliezer, number four. Abraham's servant. He's looking for a bride for Isaac. And he goes back to the hometown and he's going to the well and he's looking for something, looking for a bride. Asking God to bring some sort of intervention to show him who it is. But I love this. And you know the story. He finds Rebecca and Rebecca comes home and they live happily ever after. But here's what I love about this scripture. Eliezer's walking there. And here's the verse. Genesis 24, 27. And he said, blessed be the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me. Look at that verse. Being on the way, the Lord led me. Notice it didn't say, the Lord led me, and then I went on my way. It says, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. While Eliezer was moving, while he was on the way, while he was doing something, in motion, going after something, the Lord led him and wham, he got to Rebecca. I was on the way. Sometimes we're looking for God to tell us what to do, and God's looking for you to go do it, and then He'll tell you. I love it this way. We say this, "Tell me, God, then I'll go. Tell me, God, then I will go." God says, "Go, then I'll tell you." How many people like to go and then have God tell you? How many people like to have God tell you and then go? "Hi, I am here. God has spoken to me. I have come. Feel secure. Very good. This is the Lord. I'm here." Ta-da. But God says, "Oh, go." Okay. This way? Am I getting warmer? getting warmer? Go. 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 Look for the updates daily from the Holy Spirit. He's going to update your progress. Turn left right here. Actually, sometimes he's not going to tell you to turn left. He's going to go, "Okay, I think I should wham!" What the heck happened? Didn't see that coming. Didn't see that coming. Didn't see that coming. Guess what? God did. As a matter of fact, he says, "Take one more step. One more. Keep going. Wham! I love this part of my job. So cool. I've done it to so many people. It's pretty cool. We're going to get to heaven and watch everybody's wham videos. Hey, I was just going here going, duh, and wham. Parked cars don't go through intersections, do they? You got to be a car in motion to make it through the intersection. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Why have I come to this place? Why to this intersection? Don't lean to your own understanding. Why? In all your ways acknowledge Him. Glory, worship, give Him the honor. And He shall direct your paths. God brings you to these intersections so He can do, note, His thing in your life. God brings you to these intersections so He can do His thing in your life, not your thing necessarily in your life. His thing in your life. His thing in your life. What is His thing in your life supposed to be? Are you going? Are you listening? Are you getting the updates? His thing versus your thing. God will direct your paths at all intersections. At all intersections, God's going to direct it. You may come in one spot and go out a completely different one. Who knows? God does. Don't bemoan them, but realize God has His hand upon you. Number 5, Paul on the road to Damascus. Paul on the road to Damascus. Paul is killing Christians, putting them in prison. He's a Jew of Jews, man. He's just killing this sect out there that's just destroying his religion, doing it in the honor of God. I'm doing this for you, God. Going to kill all these people. Clean up the act here. That's what he's doing. Acts 9, 1-8. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus. He's on his way to Damascus, so that if he found anyone who were of the way, that's what they called this sect, called it the way, these new Christians, whether men or women, didn't matter. He didn't care. I'll take men, I'll take women. I just want to get rid of them. He might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came to near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground. And he heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" In the New King James, it says something like, "What are you doing, dude? What's happening? What are you doing to me?" And he said, "Who are you?" And the question mark here, "Who are you?" I think it goes like this. "Who are you? Lord? I thought I was doing good for you. I thought I was cleaning up the act here. Who are you? Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Very good question to ask at the divine intersections of your life. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you on my spiritual journey, this spiritual odyssey, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the man who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice and seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. He was blind, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Here's my observation on this. As you know, he's going to go, and Ananias is going to lay hands on him, and he's going to pray that his sight would be restored, and all of a sudden his sight was restored, and he becomes Paul. He becomes this awesome man, Paul, that's going to change the world, the gospel, going to change the big writer of the New Testament. As Christians see it, this man's going to change life for us. Here's my observation. Saul is doing his own thing, going his own way, but God has a different plan for him. And at the intersection, he knocks him on his bottom. He knocks him to the ground, and he finally sees the light. Jesus says to him, "What are you doing?" He knocks him off his high horse, shows him the light. Here's my next thought, and I like this thought. God blinds him. God blinds him to the way things were, and then opens his eyes to a brand new way of seeing, God's way, for God's glory. He saw it his way. God blinds him. Don't look at it your way anymore, Phil. Don't look at it any more your way. I'm going to show you a new way that I want you to look at life. I'm going to show you the light. Lastly, as we bring this to a close, Jonah. Now, Jonah's ditching God. But you know what? There's divine intersections when you're running away from God. Believe me, he never stops tampering with you. He never stops loving you. He never stops caring about you. He never stops his divine interventions in your life. These divine intersections. Here's Jonah. God asked him to go to Nineveh to preach, but he buys a ticket in 100. Nineveh's this way. He buys a ticket and goes this way to Tarshish, exactly 180 degrees opposite from the will of God. Goes to Tarshish. It's even hard to say. Tarshish. Goes there. And on his way, as he's going to Tarshish, wham! He gets hit by a whale. I mean, it's you can get hit by anything. Dude, hit me with something else, but he gets hit by a whale. I mean, that'll wake you up. I'm sure he said, didn't see that coming. I mean, that's really one of them. Didn't see that coming. Even going away from God, there are intersections. When you come to a distressing intersection of life, don't bemoan the circumstances. It's in the circumstances that the purposes of God come to pass. Let's pray. Father, I know for me, and I'm sure for all of us out here, that we've come to situations where we didn't know what you were doing. It seemed tough. We didn't realize that it was a divine intersection where you are on a road thinking this is the way it goes. But Lord, out of your grace, wham! You hit us. You hit us. And you changed our life. Lord, I was just coming to the University of Idaho to get a degree in engineering. I was just going to do that and be an engineer for the rest of my life. That wasn't nothing too big. Wham! I got saved. I didn't see that coming. Wham! You started growing me. Wham! You put me in a ministry opportunity. Lord, so many issues, so many things, so many intersections that I really didn't see coming. And a lot of them I said, Lord, please, I don't want to be here in this intersection. But Lord, you know best. You know how to lead. You know the intersections you want to do in our life. You know the weaving, the tapestry that you're making, the issues of life that you're using to create us to be men and women of God who live for the honor of their God and are willing to die for the honor of their God. Father, it's all about you, and we live for your honor. Help us as men and women, when those circumstances come and those intersections happen, that we would trust you, trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Lean not to our own understanding. Didn't see that coming. But allow you, Lord, to direct our paths, to move us at your will, to enjoy this walk called Christianity, this adventure, this odyssey, this life, oh God. Do your work in me in 21:3, Lord. Whatever it takes, I want to live for your honor. I want to die for your honor, Lord. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God has us on a journey. It's called life. I'm thankful in this life, he put a great subtitle called Christian Life, because that makes it awesome. Let's live it for his glory and for his honor. Next week, we're going to continue to talk about it. Next week, we're going to talk about this journey from death to life as we get into our epic series in the Bible, as we gather together in small groups and see this word come to life on the screen. My prayer is not that it would come to life on the screen, but it would come to life in our hearts and transform us. If you don't know Jesus Christ, come on up here. We'll pray for you that you would receive him. If you need prayer for an ailment in your life and in your body, something, come on up here. We'll pray for you. If you want prayer for anything else, come up here. We'll pray for you. Remember, he's got a spiritual journey for you. Enjoy it. When those intersections come, wham! Say, glory, God. I'm being changed for you. Love you guys. God bless. Thank you.